Thank you very much. Well, we have lots of love. Shall we vote to have our love also given? Thank you very much to everyone. Okay, and we'll begin our devotions this morning. And it'll be in the following order. Let's see. Okay. Brother Dave Brown will serve us with the manna. Brother Don Neusel with the resolve. And Brother Tom Connell with the vow.
The manna for May 29th. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let your prayer, your heart, be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The more we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, the more we seek to do the will of our Father who in heaven, the more we seek for the fellowship and communion of our dear Redeemer, the more we seek to do these things which are pleasing in His sight, so much the more we will have of the joy and peace which no man taketh from us, and which trials, difficulties, and persecutions can only make more sweet and precious. Ye know, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Psalm 116:12-14. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Psalm 50:5. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh in its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in the great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may.
A vow unto the Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace the general interests of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to joy in that work and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself toward those of the opposite sex exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone, unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters. In the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
Thank you. And we're going to ask Brother Dave Brown to ask a blessing upon the convention, and then we'll have our welcome address.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy most precious name. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us to be here today. We ask for a measure of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one, as you deem appreciated. And we also ask a blessing upon the speakers that are going to serve us. We thank you so much for their sacrifice of time and labor of love, that they may break the bread of life and share it with us. As well, each one of us that are in attendance of this convention, we ask that you also give us a blessing so that we may bring our fruits of our labor that you've given us to contribute and hopefully take a blessing away. We leave the rest of this day and convention within Jesus' name. Amen.
And now we'll ask Brother Steve Palmgren to give the welcome address. Brother Steve.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to bring you greetings and a warm welcome from the Puget Sound Ecclesia. We do want to thank each of you for being here. And we especially want to thank the speakers for their long hours of preparation and their labor of love on our behalf. Also, I'm sure that each of us in this room rejoiced to hear of so many consecrations. And I'm sure all of us desire to welcome those who will be symbolizing their consecration here tomorrow. What a joy to see these hungering and thirsting for truth and righteousness. You know, for so many of us, the beginning of a convention is especially exciting. What treasures of truth are the speakers going to address? What part of the old, old story will they share with us? These are wonderful opportunities to refresh our mind with the truths we hold so dear. As we listen, let's value these scriptures and their beauties even more. Let's also remember where they are so we can open our Bibles and find them when it counts. You know, sometimes we wonder how we can better retain the truth. One important way is to simply share what we've studied. Conventions are no exception. Each of us are impressed by different things. How many times has a brother or sister shared their highlights with you from a discourse, and you find yourself hearing it from a whole new perspective? It's amazing how this works. Their excitement concerning points of truth that we may have missed, and vice versa, help each of us to have a much greater appreciation. We live in a time where the fast pace of life can interfere with or even stop us from meditating on the principles of God. Thankfully, conventions provide a means, a vehicle to revive those meditations. As we go through the weekend, let's leverage off of each opportunity. As we get glimpses of the beauties and the grandeur of the Heavenly Father's character and attributes, let's truly treasure them. Let's meditate on the awesome beauty and the harmony of the principles of truth. These are the things that will never rust. And most of all, let's go home and continue that meditation. Let's carefully prove all that we accept as truth, and be careful that we let none of it slip. Now, I'm sure that all of you have noticed the theme text, Revelations 11:15. It's on our back wall back here. You know, it's wonderful to discuss these things with one another. I hope that all of you will have a chance to do so. But for now, we'll leave you with just a few thoughts. Revelations 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Clearly then, it is in connection with the sounding of the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You know, one question that might be asked is, does the kingdom reign include the tearing down process? Yes, even here in Revelation 11, we see first the reign begun, then the resulting trouble or wrath on the nations. Starting at the end of verse 17, it says, Thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. Then it says, And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. The wrath or trouble comes as a result of the reign. We see this same order of events in Daniel 2. Daniel 2:44, And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And further down it says, It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel clearly states that the kingdom of God is set up while the Gentiles still have dominion. The Gentile times ended in 1914. Did we see the eviction process begin? Have we seen the worldwide spasms of trouble ever since? Paul wrote that Christ must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But the prophecies reveal the first enemies to be destroyed are the kingdoms of this world. As we look at the subject tomorrow, notice that scripture after scripture, this same order of events occurs. First, the reign begins, then the trouble comes upon the nations. Another question sometimes arises, are there little flock on this side of the veil after the reign begins? Isaiah 52:7-8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, and with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Notice that it is the feet members, the watchmen, that declare unto Zion that the reign has begun. We will look at more tomorrow, but many of these scriptures tell of how the present kingdom developments affect and inspire the church while still in the flesh. With all the trouble in the world, these are especially helpful now. Psalms 46, 1-5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. These were some brief thoughts on a difficult subject. We will leave it to you to prove the truth in the matter. Finally, please notice that there are bookmarks on the back table. We hope that all of you will take one. The Ecclesia wanted to leave you with a remembrance. I think I have an example here. Let's see if I got it. intended to have these out here earlier, but these are kind of what they look like. It's right here. And I don't know if you recognize these things, but you should all recognize them. The illustrations, these illustrations, have been associated with Bible students for over 100 years. With computers or even reprints, we don't see the original tower covers as often as we once did. But let's not forget them. Each bookmark is a cross-section of a 1912 color edition. As on all editions, among other things, they had a tower and a rising sun over the mountains. Do you remember the scriptures that are being illustrated by these? What scriptures speak of a rising sun? What day is represented by its dawning? What has been the effect of the dawn? Perhaps we will start with the effect. Do you remember the scripture that speaks of the bright shining that comes out of the east and shines unto the west? That same scripture likens this rising of the sun to the presence of our Lord. Consider how all the hidden things are being brought to light. What scripture speaks of this? Is it getting harder and harder for ones like the Catholic Church to hide their abuses? Can politicians keep secrets like they once did? Hidden things are indeed coming more and more to light. We also see the trouble that comes as a result. Let's not forget the scripture that speaks of the Sun of Righteousness that arises with healing in his beams. Our Lord smites the nations, and afterward, the peoples will be healed. There are many more scriptures on the rising sun. Do you remember where they are? I've left the most important ones for you. One final question. Do you remember the other symbols on the cover? In closing, the Ecclesia wants to leave these bookmarks not so much to be reminders of the convention, but to be reminders of the wonderful vision of truth given to us at the return of our Lord and the dawn of this millennial day. So welcome, brethren, and have a blessed time this weekend.
Thank you, Brother Steve, for helping to set the tone for our convention.